Hey, everybody, welcome to this week's Momentum Call, Coaching Call. Thanks so much for being here. This is Susan Baracco, and I'm glad to be working with all of you today. We have just a minute or two before we get started. I like to wait to make sure that give other folks a chance to jump on in case they're, I know there's at least one other person that was planning to attend today. So I want to give them a minute. But Robert, I see that you're with us today. Thanks so much for being here. Glad that you were able to join the call. And we start out, and I'm not sure if you've been on one of these calls yet or not, but we start out, Ed and I like to start out with a just for fun question. So if you have a favorite Thanksgiving tradition or activity or something that you do around this holiday, if you're a Thanksgiving celebrator, or for even any holiday coming up, if you've got a holiday that's one of your favorites, share what your favorite tradition is in regards to that holiday. So, and we'll wait just a few more minutes, another minute or two, in case other folks join us. And just to let everyone know that this call is being recorded. So if you have to leave early for some reason or another and have to step away, the call will be posted tomorrow. Or if you weren't able to attend, you'll be seeing this recording available on Friday. Typically, they post it the day after. So, hey, Michael, welcome. Glad you're here. Glad that you've been able to join us. And if you would type in the chat and at least say hello so that I know that you can hear me and that my audio is working properly. I think it is, but always like to hear from you folks. Make sure that it's working properly. Great. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for jumping in there. Robert, I love it. Thanks for that. Robert says, I'm Canadian, but used to live close to Detroit, so I watch the Lions get killed every Turkey Day. That's great. Love it. Love it, love it. Good day to lay around and watch football. Good. Well, thank you both for sharing your thoughts. That is a fun activity because it always works out the same way, doesn't it? At least it always seems to. All right. Well, I know that some of you are new to this program. So what we start with is asking a few questions. And then I open it up to question and answer for you folks to chime in and get support if there's anything you need help with. But I like to start by asking you to share a win. And if you would, just type in the chat. Let us know if you have any kind of a win that you'd like to celebrate. It doesn't have to be anything major. It can be something pretty simple. And, you know, I believe every step is a step forward and every win is big regardless of what it is. So feel free to share in the chat if there's anything that you're particularly excited about and happy about in the last week or so that related to the program. To you building your business, anything that you'd like to share with us, that would be great. Awesome, and Robert says, finished the first draft of my website copy. Congratulations, that's a big win. that's a fair amount of work. If you're starting from scratch and you're just getting your website together, it is a lot of work to pull that together, so congratulations. Michael says, second discovery call ever with a prospective client a couple of weeks ago. That's a huge win too. Congratulations on that. Great. And hey, I see Barb has joined us. Welcome, Barb. Glad you were able to make it. We're just getting started and we're just looking for wins. If you've got a win you'd like to share, big or small, something in the last week or so, relative to the program or your business, would love to hear about it and celebrate with you. All right. Awesome, Barb. Thank you for that. I surprised myself in session four by discovering just how many connector contacts I have. Congratulations. That's actually a big win. That's going to be really handy. And I know you submitted a couple of questions in and around that. So we'll be, when we get to the Q&A session, I'll bring you on and we can talk a bit more about how to leverage those. But congratulations. Great win. Great, great win. All right. Well, this is the part of the call where we typically spend the most time and hopefully be able to answer your questions, help you get unstuck, just, you know, get you focused on and keep you moving forward. And so a couple of basic guidelines for this part of the call is to keep your question focused. Type in a capital Q before your question so that I don't miss it. I'm sure not to miss it. One question per person to start, and then I'll come back around. We have a smaller group today, so that's not going to be an issue. Can easily come back around to you. And then let me know if you don't want to be unmuted. If you happen to be at a place where you can't talk, it's okay. Sometimes I like to bring you on so I can meet you formally, but also to just clarify some things. I'll make sure that I understand your question. So go ahead and type in anything that you have. Barb, you don't have to. I've got your two questions and I'll probably start there. But for Michael and Robert, if you have questions, feel free to type them in to the chat while we get started. All right, Barb has a couple of questions about reaching out to people, and she's at, you said session four, so you're just getting into that part of the program that starts talking about reaching out to people, and I know, Barb, you already have experience in your industry as well, so her first question was, or one of the questions was, I will fess up to being a goof, but I sent a lumpy mail package to a solid prospect last year and then freaked out and didn't follow up. Is there a credible way to reapproach this prospect, or should I just write it off as lesson learned? So I would recommend that you do both. I think it's great. Thank you for your bravery and stepping up and saying, hey, I didn't do anything. Very common for folks to get into this and feel really uncomfortable and awkward sometimes. If you're not used to being in sales, starting a business on your own, really, that can really be a sticking point for people. And I've been working with Ed now for, I think, going on my third year of helping him with this program to support it. And a lot of folks come through here without ever having really the understanding or the experience of going out and reaching out to prospects and how to work with them. So thank you for your question. And thank you for being, I guess, you know, candid about what happened. So not uncommon. The good news is that in this particular case, you could probably use COVID a little bit. You could leverage that a little to your advantage. It's been a very different year for all of us, everybody in business, whether you have your own business, whether you have a job. It's been a really, as you all well know, a very different year for everyone. So I believe that it is a huge lesson learned for you. And obviously, if you're going to put that much effort and investment into sending someone a package, you definitely want to take advantage of that. So I would just, you know, put the distance, if you will, put the time that's elapsed, just put that behind you. Don't worry about it. And think about if this client, if this prospect is still a really strong prospect for you, then just reach out. And you might want to send them an email and say something, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But, you know, certainly say, I realize that I sent you some information last year and we never connected. Is there a possibility we could speak in the next, you know, in the next week or two? And don't even mention that it was a year ago. They may or may not remember. They may not realize that it was a year ago. People are busy. So, you know, it might feel awkward to you, but they might not even remember. Like, she sent me a packet. What? I don't even remember getting it, right? So there's a good possibility that it was long enough ago that they don't even remember. And so Ed talks a lot about 9-word emails. And I'm not sure if he gets into that, probably in email prospecting. A good way to follow up is an email that just says, hey, hope you're well. And thriving and wanted to reach out because I sent you a package and wanted to follow up, realized I never followed up, or I would like to follow up with you and find out if you got it or if you have any questions, something like that. So you're basically kind of just put the elapsed time behind you and just focus on what can I do? You know, what is there something I can answer for you, or would love to get your feedback about what I sent you, something like that, so that they're compelled to respond. And the other thing that I will say to you, and this is for both of your questions, Barb, is givers get. So that's you may have heard that saying before, that if you reach out and give, you usually get back. And so it could be something as simple as, you know, I wanted to make sure you got the package because there was some important information in there that I think would be that you would find very helpful, something like that. So there's a couple different ways that you can approach this particular issue, and but I would absolutely follow up now, try a couple of different approaches in terms of follow up, something that you're comfortable with, and see what happens. If they don't respond, they don't respond, and then you can write it off, but certainly give this an opportunity if you felt that they were that important. If they're still very much a good prospect for you, then definitely it's worth the time and effort to try following up, maybe a phone call and an email, maybe just an email, whatever you think makes sense. So I hope that was helpful. And we've got a couple of other questions here. So Barb, I'll come back around to your other question in just a bit. So Michael, you're up next. Thank you for submitting that. Michael says, I've sent over 150 warm prospecting emails. I've gotten probably 20 or so responses, but in sending follow-up emails, I've gotten no responses to those. It's first-time response or nothing for me. Kind of a broad question, but do you have any tips for making follow-up prospect emails that get responses? So that's what I was just talking about. Hold on. Let me look. I'm not sure, Michael, where you are in the program. But there's a whole, actually, I believe in the very last session, session 8, is focused on nurturing and systematizing your prospecting. And I think that's where Ed gets into the best way to follow up. But so we've got a couple of things that come into play right now, Michael, just to keep in mind. And for anyone who's having this same type of a response, here in the U.S., we are literally around the corner from the holiday season. And I believe if you guys are here in the US, we've got Thanksgiving next week, which is, even though COVID is putting a different spin on the holidays for all of us, people are still distracted. So just keep that in mind. And to be patient with that. I think it's great that you got initial responses. And again, you're going to want to send follow-up emails that ask a question that they're compelled to answer, and not just a yes or no, but something, if you can, to follow up. Glad to have heard from you. You know, thanks for responding to my earlier email. Looking to set time to speak with you. Does next Tuesday at 3 work, or something like that? Or, you know, I'm available next Monday and Tuesday. Are either of those days going to fit in your schedule? Something like that. So you're ending with a question that hopefully compels them to respond and answer to you. And depending on what you sent them initially, it might be a question relevant to what you sent that they responded to initially, to say, you know what, I want to make sure that you don't fall through the cracks. It's a busy time of year. The holidays are upon us, and I know everybody has got a lot going on. So I just want to make sure that, and then go on from there, that you have what you need, or that, I didn't miss anything else, something like that. So, you know, craft some emails that are very much, very personal. Imagine, and I know Ed and I both feel strongly about this, is that the tone, and you'll notice as you go through the program, the tone of his emails and what he recommends and his templates is very personal and very, very warm and friendly. Imagine that you're sitting across the table from this individual, and the two of you are having a coffee and, you know, they're sitting there telling you, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's, you know, we're 6 weeks away from the end of 2020 and I've got so much to do and. There's a lot going on for all of us. And life is, you know, business is so different now. And so you want to just reach out with a tone that really is, hey, you know what? This is a crazy time of year. I want to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. And so here's I want to reach back out to you because, and just go on from there and really make sure that you're showing a sensitivity to the fact that they're probably slammed very possibly. It is a crazy time of year on so many levels, personally and professionally. So I'm hoping that helps. And Michael, if you have further questions, feel free to, we've got plenty of time today. So feel free to ask if it brought up another question or if you're, you know, you've got what you need there. Hopefully that was helpful. Ah, okay. Gotcha. Michael, I'm just rereading your note, your additional question to that. Just what his clarification was that when he sends follow-up emails to non-responsive prospects. I sent a warm email, no response, following up in 1 to 2 weeks. So you are, I know you're not through session 8 yet. Let me just see if... warm email templates, and I think he's got a couple in there. So I believe that in session 5, there are templates for a couple in a series, I believe. And if there's not, I'm pretty sure there are. I was just looking at something earlier today. So you should be able to have, and so yes, 1 to 2 weeks. Again, you know, my comments are the same in terms of the time of year. It is actually a good time of year. One thing you might think about too, Michael, is to add in an email, a comment, something along the lines of, many of my clients are planning for first quarter of 2021. And, you know, even though you don't have any clients yet, perhaps, or whatever, but many of the people that I'm talking to are already planning for first quarter of 2021 for their marketing needs and marketing programs and campaigns, and then go on from there saying, you know, I'd love to set time to talk to you about how I can support you, something along those lines. So you want to just kind of keep that, you know, yes, it's a busy time, but people are already, you know, many people are already planning for the first quarter because now that the election is over here in the U.S. and things are, you know, kind of settling down a little bit, now is, again, another really great time to go ahead and reach out to people to talk about moving forward, what's ahead, because that's right around the corner. January is literally right around the corner as well, so... and I hope that helps. All right. Let me just go back. Hold on. Robert. All right. I'm just going back because you guys are active in the chat. That's awesome. Thank you. That's helpful. Robert, you're up next with your question. Robert S. says, my three target markets are international trade consultants, health and wellness entrepreneurs, and companies and solopreneurs from all industries. I do want to focus on health and wellness eventually because I find trade consulting boring, which is why I left the business in the first place, but I have the most experience there. So I list that first, and it seems to be most emphasized in my website copy. Should I list health first since that's where I want to focus, or stick with the trade because I have the most expertise there? Great question, Robert. And I certainly can understand when you've got such a diverse set of experiences as well as wanting to go into something completely different. So I absolutely understand. Let me see, Robert, I am going to bring you on. I definitely would love to chat with you a little bit about that. So if you can unmute yourself.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Great. Well, thank you for the question. So tell me a little bit about, because one of the things that strikes me as I look at the markets that you're talking about is that there's not a lot of, there's a little bit of overlap, but not a lot. So I think that we would just want to be careful about that, because the message that you're sending with your website and all of the efforts, all the things that you reach out for, people that you reach out to, you want to make sure that it's a really clear, concise message. I just want to make sure I understand. So your goal is to get into the health and wellness. That's the focus that you have.
That's correct. Yeah, I want to write in the health and wellness space most, and eventually probably lose the trade consulting.
Okay.
However, I do have the most impressive credentials I have come from that background.
Okay.
However, in the future, though, like as I mentioned, solopreneurs and entrepreneurs, trade consultants tend to work as solopreneurs or entrepreneurs. Basically, what they do is they look at companies' import-export records and they look for places where they could apply for refunds on behalf of the company.
Okay.
So they tend to work. There are service providers like customs agencies, brokers, importer exporters, but the main market I'd be looking at would be the consultants, and they do happen to work. They tend to be solopreneurs themselves.
Gotcha. Okay.
So eventually, I want to fold them into that other thing. So then I'll have health and wellness and the solopreneurs.
Right. One thing I'm thinking is, do you have sample writing, pieces of sample writing that you've done that are, is that part of what you have as in your background that you can share with people?
I don't have it actually for the trade background. I have lots of samples.
Okay.
But they tend to be scattered and not in the trade space though.
Okay. Well, that's good news, actually. So my thinking is, and again, you know, this is entirely up to you where you want to focus, but my thinking is that you not mention the international trade consultants at all, necessarily. I would, if that's really something that you already know you want to step away from, I would focus more on solopreneurs and the health and wellness industry. So those are the two that I would recommend that you put more focus on. And here's why. And that's why I was asking about the samples. Like if you said, oh yes, I've got hundreds of samples from the trade industry, the international trade industry, then that would lead me to think a little bit differently. Like maybe you should lead with that until you get some momentum. But I think that your work with consultants and your knowledge of consulting and that solopreneur environment, I think is going to serve you really well without having to say international trade consultants, right? I think you can focus on solopreneurs and consultants in particular. You could even say something like specializing in, supporting consultants as they build their business, solopreneur in the consulting industry, as well as health and wellness. Those kind of all, to me, overlap a little more comfortably in terms of
right.
How you present yourself. And I think that it might be helpful to step back and think about the types of things that you've done that would translate well. So, you know, many people come into this program saying, yeah, I've been in accounting for 30 years and I'm burned out and I want to do travel. You know, I want to, you know, completely change. There's absolutely no reason why you can't do that. And I think that you've got a network. You probably have a really great network of connections that might be able to help you. So two things, think about narrowing your focus a little bit so that it's not quite as broad, because you do want to become a specialist. It's really important that you focus
right.
on a particular industry. And there's so much power in that. But the other thing is to think about what you bring, you know, the experiences that can translate, you know, the experiences that you have in your background that can easily translate. If you've worked with international trade consultants, you could probably work with solopreneurs and consultants across truly any industry, because you already have the understanding of how they operate and how they need to be supported. So right. Do you have any kind of experience in health and wellness? What leads you in that direction?
I do. I'm more in the health and fitness aspect of it.
Okay.
I have certified personal trainer, certified nutrition coach in the sports nutrition coach. And I recently completed another certificate in transformation. Wow. So people that want to completely overhaul their, and part of what I want to do is work. Yeah. And part of what I want to do is actually do some health coaching with consultants eventually. And that was another question I have. Should I even mention that I'm a health coach as well?
I love that you have that background. So that makes to me, thank you for sharing that, because that in my mind makes this an even stronger case for you to not talk about international trade at all. And really just go with it. If you said to me, I was in international trade for 20 years, I have no experience at all in health or fitness, but that's where I want to go. Again, I would answer this question. I would you know, suggest that you head in a different direction. You've got all the certification already. That's powerful. Right. People want to know that you want to position yourself as an expert. You know, when they come to your website, you want to be able to focus on, here's why I'm the right writer for you. Here's why I'm the right resource for you, whatever that is. And my background in this, my certification in this, is it benefits you this way, right? So this experience, and I'd say this in my website reviews to almost every review, is that your specific experience is a benefit to me. How? Your specific certification, how's that going to benefit me? So if I was a person looking for your services, make a really clear connection between, here's where I've been and what I've done in my life, but here's why you should care. Here's why it's going to benefit you as I become a writer, as I support you in what you're doing. This is how it's going to benefit you, because it really is all about you, all about them, I should say. It's right. Not necessarily, I often say in my website reviews that your website technically is about you, but it really isn't. It's helping the visitor, the prospect, understand why your background matters and why it should matter to them. And that's really the approach that you should take. So I would trim this way down, really focus on the health and wellness. You've got a strong background. I think that your certifications are a core differentiator for you. I really believe that might be the direction to head overall. And I think, so one of the things I will tell you is nothing wrong with having your website say, I focus on health and fitness and I offer these types of services. But in the meantime, in the background, you can still reach out to your network in international trade and pick up a few customers, a few clients in that, even though it doesn't fit with what you're talking about on your website. It doesn't have to. You know, I did that especially in the beginning. I was kind of all over the place, as you might imagine, when I first started my writing business. And and then I finally started, actually after working with Ed, he suggested that I narrow my focus, and I did. So I started positioning myself as a writer for women, in particular for women leaders, doing thought leadership and thought leadership writing, different types of blogging and article writing and things like that. And it was a very scary decision to make, honestly, because I felt like I was eliminating half the world's population, and that probably, I didn't know how that was going to work out. But the thing is, I still worked with lots of other different kinds of businesses and companies, even though I didn't promote myself that way. So you can pick up work anywhere, maybe locally. You know, this would be a great opportunity for you to reach out to local solopreneurs in your immediate area and see if you can connect.
I'm in Costa Rica.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
But you can, I normally suggest people do that. But you could even, if you have any kind of connection back here to a particular city you know, make sense back here in the States, start working that. If not, start looking at associations that are for consultants, you know, like the National Association of whatever consultants, trade consultants or something like that, and start, you know, networking. You can, again, kind of in the background, be working those connections and those that network if you want, but then in that's at the same time pursuing the health and fitness and putting that first as the main focus of your business. And I love the idea of you doing the coaching and consulting, because I think that's a really great all around fit, is to be able to say health, fitness, wellness, writing. I think all of that, I think it fits together, because you're going to consult with writing anyway. So I think it's a very comfortable fit all the way around.
Right. So there's no problem. There's no problem in your mind as far as positioning myself as a writer, but also when I'm talking to these consultants to say, hey, you know, I do one-on-one coaching if you're interested.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you might even have a separate page on your website to talk just about that. So your homepage is going to be talking about your core offerings and your core differentiator. And then maybe you have an extra web page that might talk about coaching and talk about why too. You know, you've got a passion for this. You really love doing the coaching piece. So you offer that and on your services page too, but have a separate page that just talks about the coaching. I think would be that way. There's not confusion. So if someone's looking for a writer, it's going to make sense. They're going to flow through your website, certainly your homepage, and understand by the time they get through the information on your homepage, they're going to be really intrigued and want to know more. So kind of separate the coaching piece, because that is a little bit different. But I think it'll work together.
Great. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
I hope so. Good. Yeah. All right. Well,
it kind of destroys my branding a little bit, but I'll have to start over with that, I think.
You know, see what we can do. The thing of it is,
I had a logo made, and I have a domain that I wanted to use, but I don't think that one is going to work anymore with focus. Okay. And that's part of my confusion. And I totally appreciate you helping me focus with that. And I don't mind making changes in those. It's just,
I didn't realize you were that far along in the process. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but you know, the thought is to keep people from being confused. If you've got too many messages on your homepage, well, I do this and I do that and I do this, boop, it's going to turn people off, because they're not going to know they're not going to get a good, clear message. And that's the thing we're trying to get to, whatever it is. Right. If it's health and fitness, stick with health and fitness. If it's international trade and you want to start there, then go for it. You know, I mean, ultimately this is up to you. But try not to, we want to make sure that when someone lands on your webpage, the homepage, they know they're in the right place and they're impressed with what they see. They're looking at the information there and saying, wow, this guy, wow, he seems to really be, you know what he's talking about. I want to contact him. That's what we're going for with the homepage, is to make it crystal clear for people when they get there. And then if you want to have other pages to talk about things, like I was suggesting, the coaching may have a page of its own, that's different. But your homepage needs to be compelling to make them want to dig a little deeper, learn a little bit more about what you have to offer, and contact you. So,
okay. Appreciate it.
We want to focus on. All right. Well, and don't hesitate to reach out, you know, on Facebook and ask, and certainly to put it in for review, and then we can dig into some of the details. But happy to help.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck. Awesome, great question. Thank you. All right. Oh, good, Barb. So I'm just kind of going through here, making sure I didn't miss any questions. And yes, Barb, I did do your review. Glad you found it. Yes, I did. Glad you found it. All right. Well, Barb had another question, and it was, and feel free, anyone on the call today, feel free to put in additional questions if there's something else that, you know, that I perhaps wasn't clear on, or something else that's, you know, kind of got you stuck or you could use some support on. Now's the time. And so let me see, Barb's other question. Is it still wise to approach what looks to be a wonderful connector among my LinkedIn contacts if the name's familiar, but I can't recall how I actually know the person? That's a great question. And I think that, yes, my answer would be yes, it is absolutely okay to approach someone who would be a good connector. You're, even though it might have been a while, again, this is the same situation. Maybe it's, and typically I believe LinkedIn shows you how long you've been connected. And sometimes I go to look at that person. I know they used to do that, and LinkedIn is changing constantly. It's an ever evolving tool. So sometimes they put information on there and then they take features away, and it's a little crazy. But at one point there was a way to say connected since, or a way to say, there was a way to tell how long you've been connected to an individual on LinkedIn, you know, connected September of 2016 or something like that. And I believe it used to say that. And sometimes that's helpful for me because I'll look back and say, okay, where was I? What was I doing back then? I might even pull up, you know, go back to an old calendar to see, was there an event that I went to right around that time that's where we would have met, something like that. So LinkedIn may still have that information. I haven't looked for that in a very long time, but you could try going back to see. Again, don't let the elapsed time stand in the way. Is there something that this person, it sounds like they could be valuable for you in terms of building your business? And this is really where the giver's get comes in my mind, is that as you look at this person, is there something that you could provide them? Maybe there's something maybe there's a person that you think would be a good connection for them, depending on what their business is or what they're looking at. Sometimes I like to look through and see what they've been talking about. I'll look at their profile and see what they've been liking or sharing, what kind of articles they're doing. There's a little bit of sleuthing to be done when you're looking at their profile to see, what this person seems to be really focused right now on a particular issue. Or a particular challenge. Maybe there's someone that you know that would be a great connection for them to help them solve that problem. I have done this in the past where I have connected. Sometimes people will put out there, hey, I'm looking for, you know, we're looking to hire a new HR on our team, you know, bring somebody in. I did this several years ago with a dear friend and a client of mine. And I put the two together because I knew they were, that she had great HR background. The company needed someone. I put the two together. She worked there for 6 years and it was fabulous. You know, it was great for all involved. And I became endeared to both of them by simply just putting them together saying, hey, I think you two should have coffee. and they did. And she worked and ended up taking the lead in their HR, the lead role. And yeah, it worked out very, very well. So be thinking about how you can help them. So, you know, sometimes we feel very one-sided with this. We look at a connector and we think, oh, I would love that person to help. They could, you know, make such a difference in my business. They could introduce me to all kinds of people. But stop and step back and think, how can I help them? What can I bring to them? Just purely, hey, here's an article. You might try that first. If it's someone that you haven't been in touch with in a long time, is send an article that might be of value for them. Something that's, you know, it's to do with their industry, something to do with, again, maybe a challenge that they've, you know, or some area of interest. See if you can find an article or some piece of information that you could send them first, just to kind of, and send them literally within LinkedIn via message. So, hey, saw that you were looking to hire, you know, this type of a person, thought you might, you know, this article might help, or maybe, you know, this connection might be valuable for you. So take the giver's get approach, try and see if there's someone that you can help them first. And then it's going to be a natural response for them to want to reciprocate, by the way. So they're like, oh, that was really great. How, you know, and then there's a natural desire to reciprocate. So it's just a slightly different mindset to go about reaching out to these people with. See what you can share, and see how you can help them if there's some way to do it. And it can be simple with an introduction. It can be simple with an article. any number of things that you can reach out to them. If it's been a long time, you could also reach out with something similar to what Ed recommends in the program about, just want to let you know that I'm doing something new. You know, I've started a new venture. I know we've been talked in a bit, but I wanted to just touch base with you, let you know I'm heading in a new direction. And Barb, I know in your case, you've kind of been in the same industry and you're staying there. You might even say something along the lines of, I've changed my service offerings a little bit. I'm going to be focusing and wanted to let you know, I'm going to be focusing on these kinds of projects with this particular, or maybe on this, in this industry. So again, you're just sharing information in this case. Hey, it's been a while. I hope you're well. I hope you've weathered this crazy 2020 storm, and things are well as we you know, are starting to come to the close of the year. But just wanted to let you know that I've launched a new set of offerings, just keep me in mind if there's someone you know that I might be able to help. So you're not asking for a referral necessarily, but you're kind of positioning it that way, and that's a way to reach out and kind of reinvigorate that. Relationship. And then the other option would be to reach out and say, gosh, you know, look at their profile. Have they had a change in perhaps what they're doing? And offer to say, hey, you know, I'd love to, would you be open to a 10-minute call? I'd love to get an update on what you're doing. Or, geez, I see you're working on this major project. I'd love to hear more about it. You know, are you open to a 10-minute call? Keep it short. And just, you know, brief and to the point. You know, there's a lot of different, I guess I call them excuses, but, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why you could reach out to somebody. And so it just takes a little bit of sleuthing to see what they're up to and maybe find some kind of a common denominator or some kind of an issue or a topic that would resonate with them and see how you might be able to help. So I'm hoping that's helpful for you, Barb. Right. Awesome questions today. Thank you all. A small group, small but mighty we are today. So thank you. It's been some great questions and some really important. I can tell from your questions that you're really digging in here and trying to move forward in the program and making sure that you're approaching this the way that you think is going to be most successful. So that's really great. Really, really great. All right, Michael. You're up next with your question. Since I'm the LinkedIn 321 guru, sort of, Ed and I did that together. A question about that. What types of posts are good for the 3 daily shares? I've been sharing articles on news in fintech, health tech, legal tech, on B2B tech and SaaS copywriter, specializing in those 3 areas, and getting a fair amount of views, but very few comments. Is there a goal with these shares? So I love that you're getting a lot of views. That's another great question. And LinkedIn is one of those things. LinkedIn 321 is a program, by the way, for those of you who are not familiar with it, Ed and I put together, we realized that that LinkedIn is such a gold mine. And I've known that for years, done a lot of business through LinkedIn, made some great connections, gotten some leads, really a powerful tool in the B2B realm. And so we put together a program that talks about LinkedIn 321, basically 3 shares, 2 comments, and 1 connection request per day. So you're basically going in and kind of making, having this just as a matter of course, your daily routine. And the program goes into a lot of detail. Anyway, so the goal is probably a couple of things. So I want you to think, Michael, about this as kind of like seeding, you know, you're spreading seeds. These are just things that I love that you're getting views. What that, to me, that would be really exciting is if I posted something and I got a good number of views, because that means that people are interested. They're seeing it and they're interested. So that's really great news. It means that they're starting to see your name and they're associating you, they're making that association, whether they, and it's not conscious. They're not like, oh, Michael and FinTech, but it's seeping in. So this is just, you know, they're seeing the article, they're seeing your name, they're making the connection. It's going to take time. So just understand that this is something that's just, it's a cultivation process and it takes a little bit of time. One of the things that I've seen from social media gurus is to post an article and ask a question. And, you know, this may or may not work depending on your industry and how active people are in your target market on LinkedIn and how engaged they are. Some people like to, you know, jump on LinkedIn and browse around, see what's going on. And then, you know, they don't interact very much. So you may or may not get a result, but so asking a question and maybe even one that's an opinion, because people love to give their opinions, by the way. So you might read an article and let's say, we'll just stay with FinTech. And so you post this article and your comment is something along the lines of in your post, you're saying this article covers this topic. I'm not sure I agree with the author. Anybody have any suggestions or ideas? Or you might say, I'm not sure I agree with this particular point, right? I might not, you know, I'm not sure that this particular point is, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that. Anybody have any thoughts? Because people like to share their opinion. So you want to be careful not to go too negative. You really, you know, you don't want to punch the hornet's nest on social media, right? Because you don't want people coming after you in droves, but you want to be really careful with that. But just be thoughtful, like, you know, I think this is one of the best ways, you know, point number three that this writer makes, I think is the most important. Has anyone got any direct experience with this? Or what has been your experience with this? Something like that. So you want to really be careful, obviously, about how you question, but you want to get people to respond like, you know, so they read the article. So the author's happy because you're sharing their article and you're getting people to read it. But then hopefully people are coming back and saying, making a comment like, you know, I've used that product or I've tried that and it works really well. You know, hopefully you're going to get some kind of a response. And that would be something to try. Keep in mind that this is testing. Everything you're doing, especially on social media, is testing. It's just put it out there, see what happens. The fact that you're getting views is very encouraging. I think you should focus on the fact that your name is being associated with the right things in front of the right people, and that's great. And I also think that it's testing. You know, try putting out an article, sharing an article with a comment and asking for feedback. Love to know what your experience is in, you know, this article states that this is the case. What's your experience been? You know, the other thing you can do is say, I'm in the process of writing an article about this same type of thing. Does anyone else have an opinion to share? And that might be, you know, that's another way to reach out to people. It's another, you know, hey, I see that you're an expert or that you're involved in this particular field or industry or product or something like that. Would you be open to a 10-minute call to share your insight on this product? Something like that. You know, there's those types of approaches too, depending on, again, who you're calling on. Lots of different ways to reach out to people that doesn't feel salesy, but that really does just help to make the connection. But always try to be the helper, the giver, see what you can give the person. But kind of went circled around a bit there, Michael, with my answer there. But I'm hoping that the idea here is to get people seeing your name so that then when you're ready to move to the next step of actually reaching out to someone that they're like, Michael, oh yeah, that name is familiar. And they're not going to just feel like, you know, you're spamming them. And certainly, that's not the approach that Ed recommends you take anyway, but the goal here is to get them familiar with your name and to see that you're making comments and You know, if someone that you're focused on is that you'd like to connect with is posting articles, sharing articles, make a comment on their article. So if you're following them and it comes up in your feed that John, you know, just shared this article, read the article, spend, you know, a couple of minutes, read it, and then make a comment. Say, thanks for sharing. This was really helpful. Or I agree with the second point he makes, you know, with the writer, that kind of thing. So it goes, it works both ways. You also want to look for articles that people are sharing so that you can maybe make a comment, because then they'll see it. Then that comes up in their newsfeed that Michael made a comment on the post. So again, it's just getting people familiar with seeing your name and getting so that then as you move forward, move them forward in the process, then they're not as, you know, they're more familiar with who you are. So I hope that helps. All right. Yep, this is a marathon, not a sprint, when it comes to social media in particular. And I think that's something that sometimes in the beginning, when you're first starting your business, you're first starting your freelance business, is that you want things to move quicker than they do. And sometimes you get lucky and you know somebody reaches out and you get work pretty quickly. But for the most part, it can take a little bit of time, and especially on social media. And LinkedIn is one of those places where it's really important to respect LinkedIn for what it is. And I like to refer to it as the world's largest networking event. And I've called it that long before COVID ever hit. It has always been, I spent a lot of time traveling the country, training people on how to use LinkedIn. I did that for 2 years prior to starting with Ed, actually, just before that. And so that's where I got all of my background in LinkedIn. And I've always referred to it as the world's largest networking event. So you want to behave on LinkedIn the same way you would behave if you walked into a chamber event back in the good old days when we used to be able to go to things and shake hands and meet people in person. But you want to behave the same way. Is if you walked up to someone and said, hey, so tell me what you do and tell me about it. You want to interact the same way. It's just that you're just getting to know someone. You're not going to sell them something while you're standing at the chamber event. It's probably not going to happen. What you are going to do is make a good, strong connection. That's the goal. It's like, hey, I really liked that guy or that gal. So, you know, they were, you know, we really seemed to connect, and that was a good interaction. So the goal for LinkedIn is to just start building relationships and to do that methodically and thoughtfully. And that's what LinkedIn 321 is all about, is just taking this for what it is. This is a relationship building tool for B2B business people like yourselves who are going to, you know, trying to work with other companies. And that's, you know, that's the approach that you should take and the mindset you should have when you're interacting on LinkedIn. It's a powerful tool, especially when it's done well. I think that most of us have had the unfortunate unfortunately been exposed to people who are really salesy, and you know, you get spammed, you connect with somebody that you maybe don't really know that well. And next thing you know, they're, hey, you know, I want to sell you this and sell you that. And it doesn't work. I don't know why they keep trying to do that. There's so many people out there using that really just hardcore approach and push. And that's not what LinkedIn is all about. So definitely. And especially, I think, was it Robert said that you're out of the country? I think you said you're in Costa Rica. LinkedIn's going to be a gold mine for you, because it's going to allow you to work with professionals all around the world. Regardless of where you physically are located, you can work with people anywhere and make great connections. I have worked with people all around the country because of LinkedIn, and made connections with people all around the world, really, because of LinkedIn. And that's what's so cool about it. And it's all professionals there for the most part. All right. Well, I'm going to advance the slide. We still have time for more questions. if you have any. But I wanted to just ask if you would just type in what's been most valuable so far. We talked about a lot of different things, but it's interesting because it seems like all of you are in that place of reaching out to prospects, starting down that road, starting to have some initial conversations. Good stuff. I'm thrilled that you're moving forward in that area, and it can be a little uncomfortable in the beginning if you're not used to doing this. But what's been most valuable that we've talked about today? Because I got some good feedback. Whoops, sorry. My mouse is very sensitive for some reason. But we've got some good, Barb says, reminder that it's about them, not me. Very, very true. Thank you for that. Yeah, the website's one of those things. I think that's what trips people up, is they're thinking, how do I talk about me? And what do I say about me? And I always try and turn people around and say, don't talk about you, talk about them. It's all about them. Because when I come to your website, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, who is this person? And I think I even said that in your review, Barb. I say it in all my reviews is, you know, who is this person? Why should I care? So your landing page in particular is got to make me care. I've got to sit, it's got to make me lean towards the screen and go, wow, this person can do that. They've got that background. Wow, that's impressive to me. Where's the contact me button? That's the whole idea behind your landing page, is to really hit on the things that your prospects are going to say, wow, you've got that experience. Yeah, I want you writing for me. That's the goal. That's bottom line. You just want them to want to know more and want to talk to you. That's the goal of your landing page. It's just like, wow, they really have it together. I want to talk to them. They've got great background. Something that's going to be impressive. The thing that you think is going to be the most impressive to the people you're calling on. That's what you want on your landing page, on your homepage. So awesome. Robert says, laser focus on my target market. Robert, it'll make your life a lot easier than trying to be spread out all over the place. And don't worry at all about if your marketing message is to one particular industry, which would make the most sense. You can still work with anybody. I market myself as a writer for women in particular. That's my target market. I've had plenty of male clients since I started doing that. So I've had several. A couple of them, or one of them in particular, is on my website in the testimonials. He's just become a wonderful friend and a great guy. So it doesn't, just because my website says one thing doesn't mean I can't market myself to anyone at all. Because, you know, I'm my marketing message on the landing page has got to speak to my target audience. That's the whole idea. But then my offering. So if I go to your services page and I see email campaign, well, almost every industry could use an email campaign or a newsletter or a white paper or a case study. Some industries, you know, those things lend better to some industries than others. But, you know, when you actually start looking at your services, they can cover a lot of different industries. So it's the services that you offer. So if I'm going to focus on health, in your case, health and fitness, my services page is going to cover a lot of different writing tools, a lot of different writing, business tools, marketing tools that a company could use. But as I mentioned, just about everyone has a website these days. So if you write website content, if that's one of the services you offer, well, gosh, you could do that for anybody. Now, you knowing the industry and having that experience is important, but I could still use my services page to send anyone to say, here are the services that I offer. So, you know, try and be, that's where the more broad things come in, is usually the services page. All right. Oops. So I don't see any more questions, but thank you for answering that last one. And I still have, we still have time. So if anybody has another question, happy to take it. But as we wrap up, I'd love to know what your top action item is. We're, like I said, coming up on holidays. Things are interesting. You know, we're wrapping up. Certainly the next time I meet with all of you, it'll be December. So what have you got going on in the next couple of weeks that are the things you're going to focus on? Share in the chat whatever your top action item is. For the next couple of weeks. Barbara says, review my website feedback and update as needed. Great. Definitely can fine tune a bit. And don't forget to, with all of you are probably similar in that you're working on your websites and things like that. It's not permanent. I can tell you that I revamped my website. When I started out, I was just a copywriter and I was copywriting for everyone and I was copywriting everything before I met Ed. And, you know, I just was trying to find business. And, you know, what I almost wish that I had kept copies of what my website looked like over the years of how it evolved, because it has changed. I've changed URLs, which I wouldn't advise, but it's doable. Certainly early in your business, it's doable. And sometimes, you know, I mentioned earlier that this is all a test. You're testing. You're testing to see what works. You're testing to see what you like. You might start writing email campaigns and realize, ick, this isn't for me. I don't like writing email campaigns. That's exactly what happened to me. I thought, well, I can write anything. I can write emails. And I had taken courses that I knew how to do this stuff. But I quickly realized it just wasn't the kind of writing that was really for me, that I was really going to, couldn't wait to go to work in the morning kind of writing. And so keep in mind that this is a time for you to be patient and try some things, test, see what works, see what you like, and then you start to fine tune. So where your website is today and where it will be 6 months from now or a year from now is probably going to be very possibly be different. And so don't, and it's okay. It's really okay. I literally have overhauled my website 4 times in 7 years. It's probably not a good thing, but I've been in writing that whole time. I've just changed what I was writing and, changed my service offerings primarily and a little bit of my, target audience as well. So awesome. Robert, same thing, revise your website copy and consider a rebrand. And again, ultimately, Robert, it's your, you know, your call, whatever you think makes sense. If you want to go with what you already have and try it, see what happens. You know, give it a couple of months, maybe a month or two, 3 months, something like that, and see what kind of response you get and what kind of feedback you get. You can do it that way, you know, or go ahead and revamp if that makes sense too. So, you know, really whatever you think is going to get you the furthest, the fastest, if you will. And Michael said he's going to inquire with friends and family about potential business before Thanksgiving. I've been more focused on warm email prospecting and LinkedIn networking. It's got to be a mix. And so thank you for bringing that up, Michael. A good, healthy mix like that is perfect because you just never know. You never know where you're going to find business. I will tell you, we've got a few minutes yet. So I will tell you that very briefly, I was in a program. I came into one of Ed's programs several years ago, and that's how he and I met. And I remember in the program, he said, write this email, which is also part of the B2B Launcher program, is, you know, write this email to your friends and family and colleagues, you know, people that, and just introducing, you know, announcing that you're in this new, you know, in this new, you've started a business and this is what you're going to be doing. And you're, you know, you're heading in a new direction and send it out. And I was scared to death. Honestly, I was so afraid to hit send. I typed it up. I tweaked it. I tweaked it some more. And then I remember the day that I sent it out. It's a funny story. It's embarrassing, but a funny story is that I couldn't hit send. I was about to hit send and I'd jump up and, oh, I got to go get another cup of tea. And before I do that, and then I kept like getting up and running away from my computer. I was that frightened by the prospect of sending this email to all these people, some who I hadn't talked to in a very long time. was like, what if they hate me? And what if I'm bothering them? And whoop-a-boo, and my brain was just doing all this stuff. And then finally I realized, for goodness sakes, you know, I'm a grown woman, this needs to stop. And I sat down and I just said, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Some people won't even see it. Some people will just hit delete, won't respond. But what I was pleasantly surprised by was the response that I did get and how supportive people were. Even if I hadn't spoken to them in a long time or had any real interaction, people were like, wow, good for you. Great. Congratulations. And I also ended up getting one of the biggest projects in my early business existence, if you will, in terms of as a writer. So one of the biggest projects turned out to be in the first year, I think we worked together for 6 months. It was a woman I hadn't talked to in 6 years. And she was like, oh, good thing you know, so glad you sent this email because we need a copywriter. We could use a writer right now. I started out small with them, but eventually ended up being a $40,000 project that I got with this client. So, you know, and I was afraid to hit send on a $40,000 project. I didn't know it was out there. And I was, you know, my mind was playing games. My mind was getting the best of me. So just be mindful that you don't know who or what is out there for you. And it makes sense to reach out to everyone. Just say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. So, yeah, thank you, Michael. Yeah, it's one of my lessons. It's one of those. I was thinking back. I'm like, oh, that was so silly of me. Why was I so, you know, uncomfortable with this? But I was. I was thinking people are gonna hate me. What am I doing? And Ed, what are you crazy? Why are you telling me to do this? And you know, it turned out to be. I actually got, like I said, a lot of positive feedback, and I did get a couple of projects, small ones, and then I got this that led to a really nice project eventually down the road. Really got me off to a tremendous start. You know, it was a nice program and a nice relationship that I built, that I had already built 6 years prior. Just now they were ready for what I was offering. So good stuff. All right. Well, thank you all of you for being here, and thank you for being participating. This is a call that, you know, if you just sit and listen, it doesn't help. It's great. I always try and encourage people, please come, please have questions. Don't worry about the type of question if you feel it's not important. Your questions are your questions. You're just getting started. You're new to it. A lot of this is new to you. Come and ask questions. And don't worry, this is a safe space for you to come and do that. And I will do my best, as always, to steer you in the right direction. So thank you all for being here. I wish you all a wonderful holiday next week. If you're celebrating Thanksgiving, enjoy. I hope you have a chance to enjoy and take a little time off. And I will see you guys again in just a couple of weeks. So have a great rest of your day, guys.